Good morning. How are you doing today? Really happy to have you here at church and had the blessing to celebrate with you the occasion, the special occasion for moms, for mothers today. I don't know if you ever wonder about how these Mother's Days happen to be, but I found the story here on the internet and I want to share with you. The name of the person is Anna M. Jarvis, and she's the first woman who suggested a national day in observance of all the moms, the mothers. And the reason is because her mother passed, and she was very close to her. So she realized a special day for her mom in memory of her, May 10, 1908. Miss Jarvis, in that occasion, gave every person present, a mother, a carnation. You know, the small red flower, which happened to be her mother's favorite flower. The next few years, the idea of Honored Mother's Day started to traction, and a lot of people in the U.S. and in different cities started doing the celebration. And the year May 9, 1914, by an act of Congress, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed that the second Sunday in May is a day for celebration of Mother's Day. So I didn't know that the Congress did something in behalf of this. So that's how today, tomorrow, we will be celebrating Mother's Day, a very important occasion for moms. The other day, we were talking with my wife about flowers. Do you have a particular flower that you enjoy, or you are this kind of person who don't care much for flowers? How do you feel? Roses for you? Hayward? Orchids? Okay. Any other one favorite here that you like, enjoy? Roses and orchids. Any particular color that you like, Leslie? What is your favorite color in roses? Your favorite color? You like yellow roses? Well, you know, it happens to be that my mom used to love yellow roses too. And they are not very common, actually. And, you know, different colors, and it doesn't matter. But we remember these details. A few years ago, during a celebration at church, and we were there, they asked us to give our wife a flower. And they had different flowers here at the front. So I go there and I get a carnation. I really like carnations. It's a kind of like a very humble flower, right? It's not a fancy like a red rose, but it's a beautiful flower. Carnations bring a lot of memories to me because my mom used to grow them in their house, and when they're not like the commercial kind, but the one that you have in your house, they smell really good. And you notice it's carnations around here. And the other thing that I like carnations is because they are different than roses. You know, when roses are dying, you notice because the petals start well enough, right? And at the end, it's not much of the flower. Well, carnations don't die like that. The petals always stay together, right? And I remember, I don't know if my wife remembers, probably she do, that I say to her many years ago that I would like our marriage to be like a carnation. You know, I want to get all together, you know, and finally when we had to die together. That was my, well, don't get to the die part, right? Let's enjoy the romantic moment, right? But I really enjoy carnations, and I was thinking I need to speak to you about Mother's Day, and I want to ask you, how much influence do you think that mothers have in society? Or how much influence do you think mothers have in your life? What do you think? I feel like every person here somehow get the touch and the influence of mothers, right? And I remember a professor from college. This gentleman was from Brazil, and once in class, he made this statement that is still until today with me. He said that society is impacted greatly by women, that the spiritual decay or prosperity of society is not based on men, but the spiritual prosperity or decay of society is based on women. So if a society is lax in morality, then you need to look at the woman in that particular society. If in that society the women are very strong in a spiritual sense, then that society will be strong. And some people maybe will agree with this statement, and others will say, no, I don't think that's such an influence. But I believe that the mothers have a great influence in society. And I want to read at least two examples here from the Bible about how mothers can influence people, including spouses and children, and even nations through their decisions. And I want to use, the first character that I want to use today is found in the book of 1 Kings 16:31. And you will think, Pastor, that's a worse example for a mother. But no, you need to listen carefully before you jump into that. So let's go to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 16, and verse 31. And this is what my Bible say here. And it came to pass, as was being a trivial thing for him to walk in the sin of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Etbaal, king of Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshiped him. So now here you find the story of Ahab, a king of Israel. And the Bible mentioned that this king decided to marry this lady that is well known, right? When people mention Jezebel today, you know, you're not thinking about in a good mother, right? But in reality, she was a mother. She had children, and she played a big role in that society in Israel. In fact, for instance, in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 3 and 4, this is what the Bible said about her influence in the religion of the nation. And Ahab had called Obadiah, who was in charge of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. That's what the Bible says. For so it was while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them 50 to a cave and had fed them with bread and water. So Jezebel was a faithful believer in her religion. She believed clearly that Baal was the Lord. And not only that, but she was using any mean possible for her to spread her doctrine, her knowledge of that God. And among the things that she started doing is persecuting the prophets of God and killing them all. And not only did that, but then she started bringing prophets from her nation into Israel and started helping them. In the same chapter, chapter 18, I want you to read verse 19. This is close to what happened in Carmel, right? Now, therefore, send a gathering of Israel to me on the Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So this woman was using her resources to support all these people who were faithful believers of their religion. And maybe you don't agree with that religion, but she was encouraging people to follow that. And that's an example of the bad influence in society and in families that a woman can have. So a woman has a great role in influence communities. I had one more story in reference to Jezebel before changing to the following character that I think is more positive. And it's found in 1 Kings chapter 21. And the story you probably had read it before, and it's in reference to the king and the king trying to purchase a piece of land near his palace and the person refusing to sell the property. You find the story here in chapter 21 in 1 Kings. This is what the Bible says. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreel, had a vineyard which was in Jezreel next to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. So Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, give me your vineyard that I may have it for vegetable garden, because it's near next to my house, and for it I will give you a vineyard better than it, and it seems gold to you, and I will give you his work in money. But Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid that I should give you my inheritance of my fathers to you. So I don't care about your money. I don't care if you are the king. I'm not selling my property to you. right? That was the answer. And it seems that the king took offense in this because he go home very sad and a little angry, and he refused to eat, you know, having like a children's tantrum right there at the palace. And finally, his wife entered into the story and asking what's going on. You find that in verse 5 here. Actually, let me start reading in verse 4. So Ahab went to his house, sullen and displeased because of the word of Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and wouldn't eat no food. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said to him, what is your spirit so sullen and that you eat no food? Right? Why you had this face? You know, you were all kind of like sad and everything. And that's when the king tells the story to his wife. Well, I was trying to purchase this piece of land, and the gentleman refused to sell it to me, even when I offered the fair and more in gold of another property equal or better than that. He don't want to sell it to me because he doesn't want to. And then Jezebel right away said, you don't have to worry about that. This property will be yours. You know, that's the stupid idea that, you know, you are sad here. I will give you this property right away. And this gives you like a little window into this woman's heart, how she used to take decisions and how she used to manage things in Israel at the time. Pay attention, verse 7. Then Jezebel, his wife, said to him, you now exercise authority over Israel. Arise and eat food and let your heart be cheerful, and I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. And she wrote a letter in Ahab's name, sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters to the elders and the nobles who were dwelling in the city with Naboth. And she wrote the letter saying, proclaim a fast and seat Naboth with high honor among the people. And see two men, scoundrels before him, to hear witness against him, saying, you had blasphemed God and the king, taking him out and stoned him that he might die. So in that letter, she is presenting the plot in how to take care of Naboth, right? Made this big celebration, invite the person right there, and when he's there, get two people, you know, with very questionable characters, and lie about this guy that he is blaspheming against God, which by their laws was a penalty, a sin, an offense that was carried the death penalty, right? The stoning. Not only that he's blaspheming against God, but he's speaking evil of the king too. And that's how the story tells you, that she get rid of Naboth and he get killed, and all because he didn't want to sell his property to the king. So this woman have a very dark heart, to the point that nobody can stand in front of her. Right? She will get whatever she wants to, no matter how. And that influence carry on in Israel. All her children die. And you find that Jezebel is mentioned again in the Bible, and it's found in Revelation. Revelation mentions Jezebel again in chapter 2. And God speaks of Jezebel in a very harsh way. He said that that's a very bad woman. The influence of that woman was so bad that Israel was moving away from God and took years. Eventually, they get destroyed because they never really give everything to God. Now, I want you to go to the text that Denise was reading for you that is found in the New Testament. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, it's in reference to Paul sending this letter to his disciple, Timothy, a young man that is entering into ministry. And it seems like Timothy has some issues with confidence, and Paul is trying to encourage Timothy to be a good pastor, to be a good minister. So you find here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, the words of encouragement from Paul to Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son. So the relationship between Paul and Timothy, it was a very close relationship, like a father treating his own son. We don't know about the biological father of Timothy, but it seems like he wasn't a Christian, he wasn't like a very religious person, because the Bible doesn't mention him at all. Now, continue reading with me. Then God, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefather did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day. That's Paul speaking to Timothy. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that you may be filled with joy. When I called you to remembrance, the genuine faith that is in you. Now, Paul is telling him, I really like about you that you are a very sincere and honest and genuine Christian. And that's something very, very unique in Timothy, right? It's a very worthy thing to mention. But continue reading. Which is in you, which dwell first. So before Timothy had faith, somebody else in his family did, right? And that's when Paul started mentioning. Who dwell first in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice. I am persuading you also. So what Paul is saying to Timothy is the following. The reason that you are a Christian today is because your grandma used to be a faithful follower of God, and she plays such a big influence in your mother, and your mother, having these strong convictions about God, teach you about God, and that's why you are in the faith today. So it's like a connection there in two or three generations in how people can change for the good, right? Now, one of the things that always amazes me about society is how our actions today can affect people for years, right? You would probably think, what are you talking about? If I do something wrong, it's only me, right? I'm not affecting my children, I'm not asking my wife. But we need to be careful in how we make decisions, because our actions can affect generations. Scientists have been studying, for instance, the influence of drugs and alcohol in children. And you know there is a correlation. If somebody is a drinker, heavy drinker, or a drug user, if he had kids, children, that his children would probably have these tendencies to do drinking and drugs too. And this is something that is not ending in the next generation, and occasions go to one or two more generations. These tendencies to do drinking. And I always wonder about my family, right? Why I am the way I am. Why I like to do certain things. Why this is a temptation for me. Have you ever wondered about that? Maybe your grandpa used to prepare moonshine somewhere here in the mountains. And that's why you are a little thirsty on occasions. Yeah. I don't know your family history, but it's important for us to know about these details, right? We get connected with these people, even when we don't want to get connected with them, we get affected by them. So second generation, third generation, the sin is working not only through you, but it's affecting your children and your children's children. And that's what the Bible is saying, right? That God will punish the one who hates him to the second and third generation. It's not that God is directly punishing them, you know, trying to make him suffer. It's because we are transferring to them our terrible tendencies, and that's how they get cursed too. Now, the gospel is something interesting too, because when somebody gives everything to God, now a change of events starts occurring, and this person becomes like a positive influence in your life, and not only you are changing your life, but you are changing the life of the rest of your family and your descendants, right? Even if your children decide that they don't want to follow your faith, they want to do something different, at least they will remember you and say, well, my dad or my mom was an honest and faithful Christian, right? I don't agree with what he was doing, but I remember him praying and reading the Bible and being a faithful Christian, right? So it's something that they will remember about you if you are a faithful person too. So what Timothy is being reminded here by Paul is that his mother is a very faithful person to God, and God is answering her prayers through him, right? One day, somebody asked me, what was my contribution to society? What is your contribution to society? If I ask you today, what had you do for society, to improve society? What will be your answer? What had you done to make Aiken a better city? Or the state of South Carolina a better state? Or the nation, a better nation? What do you think have you done for this great country? Oh, paying your taxes, right? More than that, I feel that we make contributions to this great nation through our families, right? So I reply to the person, well, my greatest contribution to this nation is precisely you, right? I'm placing a lot of hope in you. He's here, and he can deny that, right, son? So you are my greatest contribution to the nation, and I hope and dream that you can do something good for this nation. And that's what we do through our families, right? Through our children. We are trying to help and to build a better country. Or we can do the contrary, right, and destroy the society. So why Paul is making this emphasis in mothers? It's because it's a reality there for us. The mothers have a great influence in our life. You need to remember how your mother encouraged you to pray. Do you remember that? Your mother telling you to pray, and you asking why I need to pray? I remember my mom always telling me, don't fight back. You know, and how difficult that was for me. You know, what I remember about my mother is that she was a very peaceful person. And my dad's side of the family, it was the opposite. That's like having fire and water, right? He was always trying to pay in kind to you. He's the kind of person, if you do something bad to him, he will pay you the same way. Kind of like Donald Trump, right? You know, like, I will pay you back in kind. And I'm telling you that in occasions I feel that I have to repay people in the same way. I don't know if that happened to you. Maybe you're different than me, right? And I am unique. But it's difficult to deal with other human beings. But I remember my mom, when I go back home after school and have a fight with somebody, why you have a fight? It's because he was insulting the honor of the family. And I feel that I need to defend the honor of my family. And my mom telling me, that's the dumbest thing that you can say, right? Like, don't worry about that. You shouldn't fight, number one. Why? But he started. No, you don't pay the people in the same way that they are offending you. Be patient. That was something very difficult to me. But mom always telling me that, right? And that's the stuff that, you know, is sick with you. And even today, I still like remembering things that she used to tell me. That's how much influence a mother has in a child. And once I had the opportunity to bring my wife to Colombia, and the first time that we visit my family, and Denise never had the opportunity to meet my mom. My mom died in 2001. At the time that we get there, it was only my father and my sister. And she was making fun of me because she said, your mom said that you are the most peaceful of the family. And I saw the rest of the family, and you are not peaceful at all. You know, like, and I was trying to explain to my wife, no, it's true. My brothers were worse than me. You know, I was the humble in the family. But no, in reality, I struggle with that. And that's something that I guess is part of our inheritance, you know, from our parents. But I'm grateful for my mother, for the faith that she was trying to transfer to me. She was a very faithful person. I remember my mom reading the Bible and quoting the Psalms. One of her favorite Psalms I mentioned before here was Psalms 121. 121. You remember? I lift my eyes to these mountains where my help will come from. And she used to mention the Psalm every single time that somebody was getting out of the house, right? Psalms 91, you know, the Lord is my shield, and many other psalms that my mom used to pray. I remember during Christmas time, spending time praying as a family. You know, we didn't do a lot of religious stuff, but certain things I remember from my mother. So that's what I'm trying to present to you, that a mother have a great influence in a child, and this influence can be a very positive thing. I want to read something that I found here. This is a poem, and it's in reference to the influence of a family or mother in a child. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns to be confident. If a child lives with praise, he learns to be appreciated. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. If a child likes with acceptance and friendship, he learns to find love in the world. And I think this point reflects a deeper reality, that we are what we are in part for the families that we came from. God is working in you, helping you to overcome certain problems that you have, problems that I have, but a great part of these problems came from the families that we are. Now, today I want you to remember that we need to be thankful for the mothers that we have here present. We have to be thankful for the mothers that they are already gone. We have to make an effort and be appreciative of their influence in society and the influence that they do here for church. Spend some time to say thank you and praising them for all the things that they have done. And be prayerful and also aware of the influence that you and I can also do in society. I want to finalize saying this. One more thing that I remember about my mother is that she was a person who gave a lot to others. And we never have a lot. My mom used to sacrifice herself for us. I was telling my brothers during the Bible study Wednesday here that I don't remember my mom spending money to buy in new dresses. I don't remember ever that my mother go to a store and buy new clothes. She was a single mother trying to feed 4 kids and get us through school and education and everything. And we never have a lot of money at home. And I remember her, she fixing her clothes and doing things to save money. And I really never appreciate that at the time, to be honest, because as a teenager, I was quite selfish. And, you know, as a teenager, you don't care about anyone other than yourself, right? What other people will think about me and how I am dressed, what kind of shoes I'm using. But now, looking back in how my mom used to do things for us, it made me feel shame that I never really say completely thank you for all the things that she did. So if you had your mother alive, it would be good, right, to express that gratitude today. And if she's not alive, you know, keep good memories, keep prayers for her, and let's do our best. That's the best way to honor your mothers and your fathers and memory. Thank you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, today we want to ask you for a special blessing for the mother's presence here today, oh Lord. We are asking you, Lord, to continue blessing our families and everyone. Lord, help us to honor them, having a life that can bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen.